So today's sermon is the end of the first part of the current series. We've been hearing from Elaine on Ephesians, and to this point we've heard about chapters 1 and 2 of Ephesians. And today we're going to hear about the first part of chapter 3. Ephesians actually divides nicely into two parts. Chapters 1 through 3 are more theoretical or theological chapters. They describe spiritual realities of who and what the church is. And then chapters 4 to 6 tell us what these spiritual realities mean in more practical terms. That doesn't mean we haven't heard things that change our everyday lives in the past few weeks. Good theology always changes our lives. But in this letter, the first three chapters, mostly theory, last three chapters, mostly practice. You might have noticed that the scripture reading stopped at verse 13 of Ephesians 3, which goes on to verse 21. In a couple weeks, we'll be praying through Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, which is found in verses 14 through 21 of chapter 3. Then in September, we'll hear from Elaine on Ephesians 4 through 6. So that kind of gives us where we're at for today in the sermon series. So it's been a weird week, right? I've had a weird week. So hopefully some of the stuff we talk about today will help us process whatever your week has looked like. Mine's been weird on a bunch of levels. And we'll go from there. If you need a Bible to follow along, they're up here in piles. Just grab one at any time if you do need it. So let's start with a true confession from me. I like reading, and I read fantasy and science fiction books kind of a lot. And I like them partly because they stretch my imagination. Authors create worlds and creatures that are completely different from my realities, and it's kind of fun to think through the possibilities along with them for a while. I've also noticed that many of the authors who write in these speculative genres have things to say about spiritual realities. For example, a couple years ago I started reading Stephen King. And while King doesn't tend to portray Christians really positively, in his books, for the most part, good is good, and evil is evil. He writes about spiritual realities in the world that humans do not always see or understand or control. And I find this interesting and thought-provoking. And you may be wondering why on earth I'm talking about reading fantasy or science fiction or Stephen King and what that has to do with Ephesians. Well, so far in Ephesians, we've encountered a lot of discussion that assumes that there are spiritual realities. Spiritual realities beyond our physical world that we don't always see or hear. And sometimes this sounds a lot like fantasy or science fiction to us. Sometimes we need a little help stretching our imaginations. So let's look at today's passage and see what we find there. Ephesians 3, 1-13 is divided into two paragraphs in the translation that Veronica read for us, which is the one we usually use, the New Revised Standard Version. It's in these red Bibles here. The first paragraph is in verses 1 through 6, and in that paragraph, Paul uses three key words: grace, mystery, and gospel. Grace, mystery, and gospel. In the second paragraph, which is verses 7 through 13, same three words, slightly different order: gospel, grace, mystery. Gospel, grace, mystery. It seems like Paul's main points in this passage revolve around these three words. He uses these three words to talk about the relationship between the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, and humanity, particularly the new kind of humanity, the church. Both Paul, an apostle commissioned by God, and his readers, who are mostly Gentile converts to Christianity, are part of this new humanity, part of the church. So let's look at the first paragraph, verses 1 through 6, and notice the key words grace, mystery, and gospel. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you've already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given to me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Paul was given a commission of God's grace for his readers, the Christians in Ephesus. He was sent by grace. It was a gift given to Paul from God, a gracious gift, an undeserved, unmerited sending. Paul didn't start out as the most qualified person to evangelize the Gentiles. He was a Pharisee, following the strictest rules of Judaism, actively persecuting Jesus' followers. God's grace revealed to him a mystery, the new thing God was doing in the world. And then Paul got on board. The new thing God was doing in the world was that the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus. We heard about this last week when Elaine preached on the second part of Ephesians 2. The dividing wall between Jews and Gentiles is gone. The mystery revealed to Paul was that everyone has access to God through Jesus, both Jews and Gentiles, and that together, as members of this new humanity in Christ, they are fellow heirs. They inherit the blessing promised to Abraham. All members of the new humanity are blessed with that same blessing. All who participate in this new humanity in Christ are members of the same body, members of Christ's body. Together, we follow one head, Jesus. All who are members of this new humanity share in the promise of Christ Jesus, which is the promise of the Holy Spirit. The promised Spirit lives in all who are Christians, who are part of this new humanity. The mystery that there is a new humanity in Christ in which dividing walls between Jews and Gentiles are broken down. All are heirs together. All are members of Christ's body. All share in the promise of Christ Jesus. This is good news. This is gospel. Through the gospel, the good news that through Jesus we can be reconciled to God and to each other, this new humanity is formed. Those who turn in faith to Jesus become a new creation, become part of this new humanity. Paul notes that this inclusion of all people in the new humanity through the gospel was previously hidden, but now revealed by the Spirit to the apostles and prophets. In some sense, Abraham was promised this. In some senses, the prophets of Israel saw this coming. But the actual fulfillment of the promise was so different than anyone expected, so completely outside of their boxes and imaginations, it blew people away. This new reality of the new humanity, completely different than anyone expected. Minds blown. Gospel, grace, and mystery in the second paragraph. Let's see what we can add to our understanding. Starting at verse 7. Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. I pray, therefore, that you may not lose heart over my sufferings for you, for they are your glory. Paul is a servant of the gospel, the good news, by God's gracious gift. Paul was tasked with bringing the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ. The news of the boundless riches of Christ is the gospel in a nutshell. It's the news of the unending, boundless, fathomless, incalculable, and exhaustless riches of Christ, wealth which no human could have searched out. That's the way the Amplified Bible puts that verse. What are these boundless riches of Christ? Well, at the beginning of July, Elaine preached on the run-on sentence that starts the book of Ephesians. All the things that Paul lists there are the boundless riches of Christ. Every blessing God can bless us with, God's gracious love, the fact that God adopts us as God's children, the fact that we're given favor and mercy in God's sight, all those things and more, those are the boundless riches of Christ. We have access to the boundless riches of Christ. Paul is very conscious that it's God's grace and power that intervened and called him to preach the gospel, that good news, and gave him the ability to preach the gospel. Grace wasn't a one-time event for Paul. It's not a one-time event for us. It's God's ongoing graciousness that gives us the ability to continue as members of God's new humanity, to live the life God calls us to. Paul preaches the gospel and also the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God the Creator. This plan of God's was that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This is a pretty big mystery. How can the church display the wisdom of God in its rich variety? To the rulers and authorities in heavenly places? But this is God's plan. This has been God's plan since forever. The church, you and me, members together of Christ's body, make known the wisdom of God in its rich variety, not just to other people, not just to ourselves, but to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, to spiritual beings who are not generally seen by us. Maybe now you can see why I started talking about science fiction at the beginning. This is the gospel on a cosmic scale. We are a new creation, a new humanity in Christ. The church makes known the wisdom of God to spiritual beings in different dimensions. Cosmic gospel. Let me read this passage for you again, and this time I'm going to read it in a different translation, so we hear it in a different way. Then we'll see if we can sort out some of the ways this translates into our lives this week, into the ways we can sort out the weird week you might have had last week. Ephesians 3, 1-13 from The Message. This is why I, Paul, am in jail for Christ, having taken up the cause of you outsiders, so-called. I take it that you're familiar with the part I was given in God's plan for including everybody. I got the inside story on this from God himself, just as I wrote to you in brief. As you read over what I've written to you, you'll be able to see for yourselves into the mystery of Christ. None of our ancestors understood this. Only in our time has it been made clear by God's Spirit through his holy apostles and prophets of this new order. The mystery is that the people who have never heard of God and those who have heard of him all their lives, what I've been calling outsiders and insiders, stand on the same ground before God. They get the same offer, same help, same promises in Christ Jesus. The message is accessible and welcoming to everyone across the board. This is my life work, helping people understand and respond to this message. It came as a sheer gift to me, a real surprise, God handling all the details. When it came to presenting the message to people who had no background in God's way, I was the least qualified of any of the available Christians. God saw to it that I was equipped, but you can be sure it had nothing to do with my natural abilities. And so here I am, preaching and writing about things that are way over my head, the inexhaustible riches and generosity of Christ. My task is to bring out in the open and make plain what God, who created all this in the first place, has been doing in secret and behind the scenes all along. Through followers of Jesus like yourselves gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. All this is proceeding along lines planned all along by God and then executed by Christ Jesus. When we trust in him, we are free to say whatever needs to be said, bold to go wherever we need to go. So don't let my present trouble on your behalf get you down. Be proud. So how does all this work? Grace, mystery, gospel, relationships between the triune God and all of us. We saw that there were two aspects to the mystery of Christ, the long-term plan of God. In the first paragraph, the mystery means that a new humanity is created, one without barriers, that anyone can access regardless of background. This new creation that we are baptized into is the church, the body of Christ. Every person who is a new creation in Christ belongs here without question. All inherit blessing, all receive the promised Holy Spirit. In the second paragraph, so second, this church made up of the new humanity by its very existence reveals the wisdom of God in its rich variety to spiritual beings, angelic beings who live in different dimensions than we do. The mystery of Christ means that a new humanity is created that by its very existence reveals the wisdom of God. But it doesn't feel very real all the time, this new humanity, this barrier-free body of Christ, this church that witnesses to the wisdom of God. And that's where grace and gospel come in. The gospel reconciles us to God and to each other. The gospel reconciles us to God and to each other. A new humanity is created through the gospel, the good news that Jesus in his death and resurrection did the work that means our relationship with God can be healed. Each person who is part of this new humanity is reconciled to God and then reconciled to others. But I find that the reality that I live in, and you may find this too, is one of division. We live in a divided world where people put each other in boxes or categories and then scream at each other on the street about the boxes and categories. We prefer our own tribes. We build walls. We create division. We need imagination to dream of a different reality, one where walls are broken down, where divisions disappear. The healing of relationships, reconciliation, is a gracious gift, given despite our sinfulness, made possible through Jesus' death and resurrection. We can't figure out how to be reconciled to each other without the gospel, without grace, without God our Father saying, "Hey, remember, you're all one family. Get it together." God is the one who gives us the ability to be reconciled to each other. God is the one who can give us the imagination and the vision big enough to see what is possible. God in us, the Holy Spirit in each of us, can give us the imagination big enough to see what's possible. The gospel reconciles us to God and to each other. As we live lives reconciled to God and to each other, this cosmic thing happens. Through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects is made known to angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere. And again, I've used the wording from the Amplified Bible there. Through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God is made known to angelic rulers and authorities. Well, what does all this look like as we live our lives during the week? True confessions again. I've had a really hard time setting aside my weird week to be able to focus on a sermon to preach to you today. Every time I stopped thinking about the sermon, my mind filled up with all the things that are going on in my life. I work for the University of Toronto Bookstore, and this week we're opening a new location. And guess what? I'm the manager of the new location. So I'm the one who's responsible for making sure the store is open on time on Wednesday, that it's full of the things. So my mind is full, right? It's full of the things I need to remember to do, the people I need to talk to, the decisions that need to be made. And I have a hard time turning that off. Think about your week coming up. What are you worried about? What are you excited about? What do you have a hard time turning off in your mind? In the middle of all the things in our lives, we have access to the boundless riches of Christ. I've become quite aware this summer that I tend to look around at what other people have that I don't have. Because I'm opening a store, I don't have a vacation this summer, so other people have vacations. That looks nice. They have porches with hammocks, lake views, and then I get grumpy. It's easy to be discontented. But I've got access to the boundless riches of Christ, and I'm finding this is true. My life is full of blessings, and those blessings come from God. My brain is full about my job, but that means I have a job, and that's a blessing. In the middle of all the things of our lives, things we're thankful for, things we're maybe not so thankful for, things we worry about, we have access to the boundless riches of Christ. In the middle of all the things of our lives, we have a relationship with God with unlimited access. In this passage, in the message, we had these words. When we trust in Him, we're free to say whatever needs to be said, bold to go wherever we need to go. So I look at my week and I ask God for wisdom in deciding what needs to be done first, for guidance in my day. All the things I do matter to God, including opening a bookstore. If I'm frustrated with too many important things to do with too little time, I can tell God. I'm free to say whatever needs to be said. In the middle of all the things in our lives, we have a relationship with God with unlimited access. Then in the middle of our lives, we're reconciled to each other. We have a family of Christian brothers and sisters who pray for us and who we pray for. We have a family of Christian brothers and sisters who encourage us, who help us out, who listen to us, who we can laugh and cry with. The new store I'm opening is at the Faculty of Law at the University of Toronto. Friday morning, I got a text from Christine Kilby. It says she's going to be working at the law school all day. Can we do lunch or coffee? And we did. About 2:30 on Friday, Christine and I sat in the chaos of boxes and product in the store and had lunch and chatted, and that was a blessing. In the middle of our lives, we are reconciled to each other. We have a family of Christian brothers and sisters. The gospel reconciles us to God and to each other. This means In the middle of all the things of our lives, we have access to the boundless riches of Christ. It means that in the middle of all the things in our lives, we have a relationship with God with unlimited access. It means in the middle of our lives, we are reconciled to each other, and we have a family of Christian brothers and sisters. It's hard to remember these things sometimes. Sometimes the reality of our lives in this world obliterates our ability to see that we are a new creation in Christ, members together of the new humanity. We need spiritual insight and imagination to recover a larger vision, a more cosmic view, to see what God is up to in the world, in dimensions we can see and that we cannot see.